Okay, we are back. You are listening to Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. Santo Torcivia is one of the industry's most knowledgeable players. He's probably researched every nook and cranny of the floor covering business, which is why he's such a great guest on this program. Santo runs a firm called Market Insights Torcivia. He's on the line with us now, and good to have you on with us this morning, Santo. How are you?
I'm fine. Good to be here, Dave.
Now, Santo, I always like to have you on when an acquisition or something like that has occurred in the business. And, of course, one has just happened here recently. Mohawk announced that it's purchased 4 hardwood flooring plants from the Columbia organization. As far as I know, there were 2 pre-finished plants and 1 engineered plant in the U.S. There was also an engineered plant in Malaysia. And according to the announcement, these plants represent $180 million in annual sales. And I guess it's also widely known that Columbia had been a major supplier of hardwood flooring to the Mohawk organization. Has this whole thing been in the cards for some time, do you think?
Well, I think they've probably been discussing this for a while because Columbia and Mohawk have had relations for some time. As you know, in 1996, Columbia started in the laminate business and in 2001 sold it to Unilin, which then was sold to Mohawk. And then Mohawk was supplying Columbia with a laminate. And Columbia has been in the wood business since about the year 2000. And they've been supplying Mohawk. So about half of Columbia's sales, 40% of their sales were going to Mohawk. So I got to believe that Mohawk was concerned about any situation that would occur at Columbia. And I understand that the results at Columbia haven't been so good of late.
Why is that?
Well, I think a couple of reasons. One, the housing slump and the lower sales that result from that exacerbated a declining cost situation for Columbia. Columbia acquired a significant amount of production capacity over the years, and they kind of got ahead of their sales and their ability to fill those plants. And they've been heavily burdened with factory overhead since acquiring those plants. And I know when I was a kid, my mother used to go out to eat, and if I'd order something and not eat it, my mother would always say, "Your eyes are bigger than your stomach." And I think Columbia's eyes were bigger than their stomachs, and they acquired a lot more capacity than they were ever able to fill, and paid the price for that.
So they just opted out of the business then, I guess. I mean,
right.
It seemed to me from the announcement that Columbia would no longer be, they didn't say that explicitly, but would no longer be in the hardwood flooring business.
That's correct.
I see.
And Mohawk will be taking over at least 4 of the plants that they have.
I see. Now, the plants themselves, I mean, is there a lot of work to be done here to make these things efficient? Mohawk did mention they would be spending some money to make them the low-cost player, a low-cost player.
Yeah, I'm not privy to what the status of those particular plants are, but I've seen the press release that said that they were going to drive the Columbia facilities to become low-cost producers. That's going to have an effect, and that the effect, I think, is it's obviously going to drive out any marginal players on the low end. And it'll cause them to gain, I think, when the housing market turns around, to gain a position in the builder segment, which they've kind of lagged against Shaw since Shaw acquired the Armstrong Carpet assets way back in the 1980s. Shaw was able to also acquire Armstrong's entree into a lot of builder accounts, and I think this will help Mohawk redress that situation.
I see. And, I mean, I think it would probably be fair to assume that Mohawk, for years and years, wanted to get into the wood business as a manufacturer. They were just waiting for a good time to do that, I guess, weren't they?
Yeah. They've obviously picked all the hot markets. Hot product categories to get into. You know, they're in ceramic and they dominate that business right now. They're in laminate with one of the premier players, and now they're in the wood business. And you know, they're picking up business that's going up when the carpet business is going down. So they're offsetting.
Did this surprise you? Did this acquisition surprise you at all?
No, I mean, this is a strategy that's been going on with the major carpet players for some time.
I see. Now, Mohawk said they're going to continue to market the product under the Columbia brand through distributors. Is that pretty much the way the company operated with the Unilin organization?
Yeah, I mean, that's what they've done with Unilin, and there's no reason to believe they're not going to fulfill that promise for Columbia as well. They'd be foolish not to.
So it's basically dual distribution. They'll be selling through their sales force directly and through distributors.
Yeah, you know, they'll be able to cover more of the market that way.
I see. Do you suspect, Santo, that this move on the part of Mohawk will preclude them from participating in the Armstrong auction?
No, I don't think so. What would preclude anyone from acquiring Armstrong is whether they feel the price is right and whether they can come with the money and whether they have the determination of whether the risk is appropriate. I don't think anybody of Mohawk size would be precluded from an Armstrong acquisition based on the costs of Columbia. They haven't announced anything yet, but I don't suspect that would prohibit them from doing a merger or a pure acquisition.
I see. The Mohawk, or I should say Armstrong's hardwood assets in general, how do you look at them? Does anybody have any clue as exactly what kind of shape they're in?
I don't really know what the situation is. I know they haven't been investing the rate of depreciation in those plants, so that would tell you something.
I got you. Santo, let me shift over to the channels of distribution in this industry. Obviously, a very important part of every manufacturer's organization. Looking, I guess, from a 40,000-foot perspective, how has this whole area of the business changed over the past several years?
Well, I see the home centers continuing to grow. If for no other reason than they're among the few channels that are actually adding stores, at least the major home centers I'm talking about. One advantage that home centers have is the frequency with which customers visit their stores. They have a customer base that's fairly loyal, that comes back sometimes weekly, sometimes monthly, buying anything from light bulbs to trash bags to door hardware, you name it. And so they get an opportunity to communicate with that customer any message they want while they're in the store on a weekly or monthly basis. On the other hand, floor covering specialty stores only see a customer, every five to ten years. And unless they're advertising to that customer, they're not communicating with him. And they're allowing somebody else to communicate to their customer. I think that's bad business. Stores that don't try to communicate with their customers on a regular basis are abdicating a huge amount of initiative to the competition. People like Home Depot and Lowe's recognize that fact and don't miss an opportunity to try to retain their customers and steal other people's customers. Whether you're talking about weekly newspaper inserts, in-store signage, they don't miss an opportunity to try to communicate to the customer. And for that matter, when you look at who's doing the tinkering with formats, the big box home centers and big box stores like Flooring Decor and also people like Lumber Liquidators, they're not a big box, but they have brands and they source and spec their own products. These people are doing all the tinkering. And again, you know, it's people on the outside of the traditional business that are doing the experimenting, and the traditional floor covering stores are basically playing at the margins here, and they need to do more to step up to the plate if they intend to be around in the future.
So then over time, we're going to see the players, the home improvement chains, and some of the bigger players that are flooring specialty stores are going to gradually pull share away from, I guess, the quieter independent retailers.
They are already. They have been. They're up to about 35% of the retail sales are going through home centers today. That's if you don't count commercial and contract work. If you look at Canada, in Canada it's over 40% going through home centers. I think the trend in Canada is probably a little bit ahead of the United States in that regard, because they have some unique situations going on up there that where distributors have their own brands and things like that. Viable brands that are advertised and promoted and supported with the public. And I think that's, in some ways, Canada is a step ahead of the United States in terms of the channel development.
I see. So then you expect that over the next 5-10 years we're going to see some dramatic changes in the channels?
Well, I don't think it'll be dramatic, but I think it'll be steady, and I think the way and the effort that the big box home centers are putting into sorting out their flooring businesses, they're going to get it right at some point. They're going to keep working, and they keep working at it. At some point, they're going to get it right. Right now, I think it's on a. I've been in some stores, Home Depot and Lowe's stores that were very, very tight, very good. Knowledgeable people, very well staffed, and I've been in others that have been disasters. At some point, they're going to be able to model the good stores and upgrade the poor stores. And when they have a whole system that is able to sell and install, then they're going to have a huge advantage. Like I said, when you have people coming into your store every week or every month, versus 5 to 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, with the sale of HD Supply here recently, and I guess the organization now saying they're going to concentrate on being a retailer first, last, and always, I suspect that we're going to see some change, at least in their floor covering department, and have to, as you said, get a little bit better and better every year. Is that what you expect?
Yeah, I mean, they keep opening stores, and that's an important point. They've opened as many stores since the year 2000 as independent floor covering stores have closed. So, and each one of their stores, you know, are selling around $2.5 million. And each store that closed in the flooring specialty store, well, if they're typical stores, they're averaging about $1 million. They have to be, just do the math, you can see they're gaining share. And the fact that the number of installers have grown over that same time period would tell me that installation is going to be less and less of a problem for them, because there's a bigger and bigger pool of people out there that are willing and able to install product for them.
So I guess, needless to say, the whole installation aspect, say, especially at Home Depot, is going to be improving going forward. I mean, it almost has to.
Yeah, definitely. Because when you look at the installation business, there really isn't any barriers to entry. All you need really are some basic tools, a business card, and a vehicle. And you're in the installation business if you want. And and we've, in the same time period that we've lost 1,600 floor covering stores, we've gained 1,000 new installation firms. And these guys are out there. Some of them work for floor covering stores part-time. Some of them work for floor covering stores and home centers and other big box merchants. So to the extent that installers were able to moonlight, the floor covering, the independent floor covering stores are in a sense subsidizing these installers installing floors for other people, some of their competition.
So installers are really growing at the expense of independent retailers.
That's right. And in some cases, I think the flooring specialty stores are subsidizing them by hiring them. Obviously, they need them to install the floors. But to the extent that they're paying them, they're subsidizing them.
This will conclude the first part of a four-part conversation with Santo Torcivia of Market Insights Torcivia. We're going to air the second part of this conversation tomorrow. This is Floor Radio. We'll be right back.